It's good to see the number that we have out tonight. Appreciate your being here. And as always, appreciative to have the opportunity to stand before an audience and to present a message from the Word of God. You know, the love of God is the central theme of the Bible. Everything Christian begins with the love of God. And if we could truly comprehend that and project that in our lives to other people, we'd be happier, we'd be healthier, we'd have less stress, and we could change the world. John 3:16 is the first verse that I want to look at. This is referred to as the golden text of the Bible. This is one that most likely everybody in here knows and has known for a while. You used to see it. I remember watching sporting events as younger, and you'd see this guy. He had a placard at the games. It'd be John 3:16. Sometimes you still see him there. But I wondered, how'd that guy get? He was in, you know, it was on Monday Night Football. He was in New Orleans last week. Here he is in Houston tonight, and he's got, it's the same. It was the same guy with the same card. But it was at John 3:16, and everybody knew what it was. It's very common. This verse talks about God's love for man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I know what those words mean intellectually. I understand it. But emotionally, I'm not sure that I can comprehend the love of God, that I can completely just get my mind around it. I cannot imagine, not under any circumstance, would I willingly give up a child for somebody else. I'd like to think that I would be willing personally to sacrifice for someone else. And I'll never know till that situation, if that situation is ever presented. But I cannot ever imagine, I repeat, any circumstance where I would say, here, take my child in place of him or her. Yet God willingly gave his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Out of love. Allow me to ask a couple of honest questions. And I want you to think, and I want you to answer in your mind and give honest answers. And these are really not, it's not going to be very difficult to answer these questions. But it's the point of this is to try to delve into the depth of God's love. The first question is, would you marry someone you knew for an absolute fact was going to break your heart through infidelity before you got married? Would you marry that person? All right, I was always told everybody got one dumb question. I'm going to have two dumb questions, okay? That's the first one. Now here's the second one. Would you go into business with someone who you knew beforehand for a fact that this person was going to steal from you and leave you financially bankrupt? Would you go into business with that person? Well, I think, obviously, I don't think I'm going out on the limb to speak for everybody here that the answer to both of those questions would be no. If we knew that our spouse was going to be unfaithful and was going to break our heart before we got married, we would never enter in to that relationship. If we knew our business partner was going to cheat us and leave us in bankruptcy, we would never enter in to that business relationship with that person. But God, before he created man, because of his knowledge, knew that man was going to reject him. He knew that man was going to sin. He knew that the created was going to turn against the creator. He knew that. even with that foreknowledge, he still created us. And because of that, he said, because of that foreknowledge, he said, I'm going to offer my only begotten Son as salvation for these people. Can you comprehend that kind of love? Can you understand my dilemma of trying to wrap your mind around that? If someone could truly grasp it, and we could make our lives reflect that kind of love, there is no question it would be a different world. If man truly understood how much that God loves us, and that he has given his Son in order that we can have a relationship with him and a home in heaven, if we understood that, there would not be one person who would not want to be saved, who would not jump on board with that. But we live in a world today that's very impersonal. People, by and large, couldn't care less. We're just a number. We're just another person that somebody's got a fool with. We miss, and a lot of times, that closeness that families used to have and enjoy. That being together at mealtime, knowing that mom and dad were going to be there, that we could talk to them, and we could lean on them, and we could get advice from them. But we've turned into this fast-paced, ever-moving society that has no time to slow down, and we certainly don't have any time to love one another. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The other text that I want to look at comes from Matthew 22. Verses 36 through 38. These verses talk about our love for God, and as an extension, our love for other people. Jesus is asked here, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second commandment, second greatest command, is just a natural extension of that. Because if I can consume myself in the love of God, then that would just pour out of me. And I would be able to demonstrate that love to other people. Therefore, I would love my neighbor as myself. And that doesn't just mean the one next door to us. It means the people I work with. It means the people I go to school with. It means those that live down the street. It means those people that I develop associations with. Those people are my neighbors. And if I can truly love God in the manner that he loves me, then that should just flow out of me. But demonstrating love is a whole lot different from just saying that we love. There's a story I heard a number of years ago. It's about a couple, and they belonged to a denomination, but they took in a 10-year-old orphan for the holidays. This young boy, all he'd ever known was the orphanage. He didn't even know who his mom and dad were. They brought him home and they fixed him that all-American meal. You know, the hamburgers and french fries. And they gave him a glass of milk. He ate the hamburger. He ate the fries. Drank the milk. And without even asking, they refilled the milk glass. They brought him some cookies. He ate the cookies. He drank the second glass of milk. And that evening, when it was time to go to bed, the lady of the house was reading some stories to him. And just before she turned out the light, she reached down, she pulled him into his arms and gave him a big hug. And the young boy just broke down and started to cry. And she asked him what was wrong. And he looked at her and had these big tears flowing down his face, but he had a big smile. And he said, "Two glasses of milk and a hug. This is the greatest day of my life." Can you imagine how many times that little boy would have loved to have a second glass of milk and it wasn't available? How many times that he yearned for someone to care about him? Not just the other orphan, not just as being an orphan, but as an individual. How many times that he wanted somebody just to be there to hold him and hug him and love him? He said it was the greatest day of his life. Folks, God loves us every day. We are surrounded by the love of God all the time. The love that he demonstrates in so many ways, but especially in the gift of his only begotten Son and the promise of eternal salvation. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't it too bad in our society and even in our own lives, many times our love is dependent upon the person that we're showing that love to. If we love and they love back, or if they love first and we love back, then we can deal with that pretty well. But the truth is, in our society today, it's sometimes a struggle to love people, even like them. It's a struggle because of their behavior toward us. It's a struggle because sometimes they don't care whether they hurt your feelings or not. It's a struggle because we want to do the right thing, but they don't know God. They don't know God's love, and they don't care. But what we need to understand, if God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that as a result of that he has provided for me eternal salvation, or the opportunity for eternal salvation, he has promised that he will give me what I need, provide for me. If God will do this for me, and he does do this for me, then surely I can extend myself to other people. Now think about the time that you were just so filled with love that you almost couldn't stand it. I don't know what that would be for you, but just think about that. God can go beyond that. If we could sustain that kind of love, what would be wrong in our lives? If God's love for us could truly be reflected by us to others, what an impact we could have. Because our attitudes are reflected in everything we do. If we have a bad attitude, that affects every part of our lives. Whether it is our job, whether it is our home, whether it is our social life, we demonstrate what we feel. But if we are filled with the love of God and with the knowledge that God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten Son for me, and that becomes my focus, that becomes what drives me, then my loving other people is only going to come naturally. If we are filled with the love of God, we should be anxious to tell people about God and what He's done for us. But many times we're not. And sometimes we have great intentions, but we're just so busy. I mean, and there's no question that we're busy people. In most cases, both the husband and wife work. Children are involved in things, band practice, ball practice, a job. And we're busy running here and there, and sometimes we just pass each other by. And there's no question that we're busy, but wouldn't it have been terrible and tragic if Jesus would have said, "Well, I know that those people need a Savior, but I'm awfully busy up here in heaven. I've got all these angels and they're singing and I'm just kind of busy. I don't have time to go down there and live as a human and die on the cross." Wouldn't that have been terrible? It would have been terrible. And yet sometimes we do churches, we fail at the very simplest of things, and that's showing love to one another. There are many scriptures that deal with love and how we ought to love other people. 1 John 4:8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." What a test that is for us. If we had a trial today and the public was going to determine whether this church displayed Christianity, whether we showed Christianity, and the evidence that they were looking for is, do you love the brethren? How would we do? We need to accept the challenge. If I love God and I want to show that love, then that should spill out of me naturally. John 14 and verse 21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." How do I know if I'm keeping the commands of Christ? I have to love. If I don't love, then I'm not keeping the commands of Christ. Now, people have taken that and ran with it in a wrong direction. Accepting a people's sin is different. See, because we'll say that today, we'll speak out against somebody's sin. You're a hater, you're judging, you can't do that. That's not showing love. That's a different thing. Many are trying to add acceptance to wrong things, to sinful things, to love. As if it is to say, well, you know, it's okay for me to sin because God loves me, and you have to too. So it makes it okay. Now there's a difference, and there'll be another time to have a lesson on that for later. But getting back to the point is, we have to love. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, "Let all you do be done with love." 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. Paul basically says there, it makes no difference how great a person you may be, how much knowledge that a person may have, how much faith a person may have or think that he's demonstrating. No matter how smooth-tongued that person may be, none of that matters if there isn't love. None of it. What an indictment it is when we don't demonstrate love in our life. If I can behave in a rude manner towards someone that I love and respect, how's it going to be to somebody I don't know very well? That puts us in a very difficult situation. But again, I want you to think about a situation that you're in. Maybe it was you're with your kids or your grandkids or something like that, where all you think about is the love that you have for them and they for you. What if we had that kind of feeling all the time? We wouldn't have time, if we're doing that, we wouldn't have time to worry about whether the world was treating us bad or not. We wouldn't have time to have a pity party for ourselves. But think about that situation. Now multiply it about a jillion times and it still doesn't come close to the love of God. God says, that's the love that I give you. That's the love that's available to you all the time. And I accept that love by becoming a Christian. And then I demonstrate that love to other people by the way that I live my life. Not because somebody says I have to. Not because we've started this program at church and we want to do that so to be a part of the program or the idea that we've got going on at church that we're implementing. But I do that simply because I'm walking in the footsteps of Christ. Why did Jesus do what he did? Because of the love of the Father. He submitted himself to the Father. He became lower than the angels, took upon himself the likeness of men, suffered every temptation that you and I will ever have to face, lived perfectly, but died like a criminal on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could live eternally. I want to ask again, can you comprehend that love? If you put that kind of love in your heart, can't you see how it would change your life and the lives of others around you? You wouldn't have time to be stressed out because we would be so full of this love that God has for us. We don't have time to be angry at anybody because we have the love of the Father in our heart. There's no way that we'd have time to say a harsh thing to our spouse or the people at work because we are so overwhelmed by the love that God has for us. You know, when I need a jolt back into reality, I think about stories like that of the little boy with the two glasses of milk. And I take a moment and I think about what God's done for me. And I thank him for giving me far more than two glasses of milk and a hug. He's given me salvation. He's given me his son. He's given me the promise of eternity in heaven. Hopefully, we can leave here tonight and that we can feel the love of God and that we can let that flow out of us to other people and demonstrate who we are by being a Christian. And we start by accepting God's love. That's the way to do it. We accept that, and by doing that, we become a Christian. It means to be Christ-like. Or like Christ. The sign says Church of Christ, which means we need to be like Christ. Submit yourself to God, because God loves you. Believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and who the Bible says that He is, and that is the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. Repent of your sins because you believe that. Confess with your mouth that you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And we don't stop there. Submit to baptism, where the blood of Christ will wash away your sins. And then arise that new creature filled with the love of God, which you will demonstrate in your lives toward other people. And by doing so, again, as I said in the open, be happier, healthier, less stressed. And then we can finally trade everything for that eternal home in heaven. If you're here tonight and you are a Christian and you've allowed some of these things to get in the way, and you've crowded God out and you've allowed sin to take hold again, we've also been given an opportunity with this great love of God to be welcomed back by turning back to Him through repentance and prayer. If you need to respond to the gospel call tonight in any way, we invite you to do so as we stand.